In this session, we will expand on the basic principles of the new pension regime by exploring some of the more advanced aspects. We will start with the annual allowance. The annual allowance is the amount by which pension savings in a registered pension scheme are allowed to increase in the pension input period ending in the tax year. The first pension input period starts on the date contributions are first made to the scheme, or rights start to accrue in the case of a defined benefit scheme, and ends on the anniversary of that date. Subsequent input periods end on the anniversary date, although the scheme administrator can change the date. The pension input period cannot exceed 12 months, and there must be one pension input period ending in every tax year. Increases in the total pension input amount for the pension input period ending in the tax year over and above the annual allowance will be subject to a tax charge of 40%. The annual allowance for 2010-11 is £255,000. The charge is payable by the individual member and will be declared on the self-assessment return. Annual allowance charges are levied on both money purchase or defined contribution schemes and on final salary or defined benefit schemes. In the case of defined contribution schemes, the pension input amount is the total of contributions eligible for tax relief paid by or on behalf of an individual plus any employer contributions. By way of illustration, assume an employee has earnings of £1.2 million in 2010-11. He contributes 15% of his earnings to his occupational money purchase scheme evenly throughout the pension input period, ending in the tax year as he has done for many years. His employer contributes £1 for every £2 contributed by the employee. The annual allowance charge is as follows. Employee contributions are 15% of £1.2 million, being £180,000. Employer contributions are 50% of this, being £90,000. Total pension input for 2010-11 is therefore £270,000. This exceeds the annual allowance of £255,000, so there is a tax charge on the excess. The tax charge is at 40%, being £6,000. This will be paid by the employee under the self-assessment system. The position is more complex for final salary or defined benefit schemes. In a final salary scheme, the benefits an employee can take from the scheme are determined by the employee's final remuneration, the years of service the employee has with that employer, and the scheme accrual rate. The accrual rate is the fraction of final remuneration for each year of service a scheme may provide in the form of a pension. Many defined benefit schemes work to a target of providing a maximum pension of two-thirds of final remuneration for someone who works 40 years for the same employer. In this case, the scheme accrual rate is likely to be 1/60th, i.e., for each year of service, the employee is entitled to 1/60th of their final remuneration. By way of illustration, Emma has been employed by Not PLC for 30 years. If her final remuneration is £40,000, she will have a maximum pension entitlement of 30/60ths of £40,000, which is equal to £20,000 per annum. If Emma had worked for Not PLC for 45 years, the maximum number of years of service taken into account would be 40, giving her a maximum pension entitlement of 40/60ths of £40,000, being equal to £26,667, i.e. two-thirds of final remuneration. Some schemes may provide a more generous accrual rate, such as 1/30th, which allows a maximum pension of two-thirds of final remuneration to be obtained after 20 years of employment. Therefore, in a final salary scheme, contributions made by the employer and the employee are irrelevant in determining the employee's retirement benefits.
If the scheme is underfunded, i.e. the money in the pension fund is not sufficient to meet the employee's pension entitlements, it is the employer who must make up the difference. For this reason, most occupational pension schemes are money purchase schemes. As such, schemes give the employer no exposure if the fund underperforms. Contributions by employees to final salary schemes are normally a fixed percentage of annual remuneration as determined by the employer.
In the case of a defined benefit scheme, the pension input amount is the amount of any increase in value of the individual's rights under the scheme during the pension input period ending in the tax year. The value of the individual's rights for this purpose is taken to be the maximum annual pension entitlement multiplied by 10. It is therefore necessary to calculate this value at the beginning and end of the pension input period.
This is best illustrated by a numerical example. Nancy is a member of her employer's final salary scheme.
At the beginning of the pension input period, ending in 2010-11, Nancy had 15 years of service and her salary was £75,000. This increased to £120,000 by the end of the period when she was promoted. By the end of the pension input period, she had been with the employer for 16 years. The pension accrual rate of the scheme is 1/30th, with a maximum of 20 years' service. In order to calculate the annual allowance charge, we need to calculate the pension input amount, i.e. the increase in the value of Nancy's pension rights during the pension input period. The value of the rights at the end of the period are calculated by taking 1/30th of Nancy's salary at that point, multiplied by the number of years of service, then multiplying this figure by 10, giving a value of £640,000. This is compared to the value of the pension rights at the beginning of the period, calculated in the same way. So we compare £640,000 to the opening value of £375,000, giving a pension input amount of £265,000. This figure is compared to the annual allowance of £255,000, and the excess is charged to tax at 40%, giving a tax charge of £4,000. We are now going to consider the anti-forestalling provisions introduced in Finance Act 2009. In the 2009 budget, the government announced its intention to restrict tax relief for pension contributions where contributions are made to a registered pension scheme by individuals with an income of £150,000 or more. This restriction may apply from the 6th of April 2011, although the current government is reviewing the proposals.
Therefore, legislation has been introduced to prevent individuals who will be affected by the proposed changes from increasing their pension provision in excess of their normal regular pattern.
The new rules applied from the 22nd of April 2009 to individuals whose income is £150,000 or higher, who changed their regular pension savings on or after that date, and whose total pension input amount exceeds the special annual allowance, which is generally £20,000 in a tax year. From the 9th of December 2009, the rules were extended to individuals with income of £130,000 or higher who changed their normal regular pension savings on or after the 9th of December 2009. The total pension input is calculated in exactly the same way as for the calculation of the annual allowance charge, although it is calculated for a tax year rather than for the pension input period ending in the tax year. For a member of a defined contribution scheme, where the individual's regular, i.e. quarterly or more frequently, pension savings already exceeded the special annual allowance, the full amount of any additional contributions will be treated as excess contributions. Where regular pension savings are below the special annual allowance, only the contribution in excess of the allowance will be an excess contribution. For a member of a defined benefit scheme, there will not be a special annual allowance charge, provided the terms of the scheme rules have not been materially altered. The excess contribution was charged to tax at 20% in 2009-10. For 2010-11, the excess is charged at 0% if the aggregate of the excess and the individual's income is below the basic rate limit. It is charged at 20% to the extent that it falls within the higher rate band, and is otherwise charged at 30%. The rules we looked at in relation to the annual allowance charge have not changed. However, in order to prevent double charge to tax, any excess contribution subject to the annual allowance charge will not be subject to the special annual allowance charge. Let us illustrate the special allowance charge by way of an example. Sarah earns £193,525 per annum and is a member of a personal pension scheme. She has contributed £1,200 per month to her pension since April 2006. From May 2010, she decided to increase the level of her contribution to £1,800 per month. Sarah has no other income in 2010-11. Her special annual allowance is £20,000. Sarah has taxable income of £193,525. She makes one pension contribution of £1,200 and 11 of £1,800. If we gross up these amounts, they give a total gross contribution of £26,250. We will increase the level of her basic rate limit by the gross amount of her pension contribution as normal, giving a new basic rate limit of £63,650. Similarly, we will increase the level of the higher rate limit to £176,250. Therefore, £63,650 of her taxable income will be charged at 20%, £112,600 will be taxed at 40%, and the remaining £17,275 will be charged to tax at 50%. In addition, Sarah will be subject to the special annual allowance charge, as her total gross pension contributions in the tax year exceed £20,000. Her regular contributions were £1,200 per month, giving total gross regular savings of £18,000. This is less than £20,000, so the contributions in excess of £20,000, being £6,250, will be charged to tax at 30%, giving her a total income tax liability of £68,282. The effect of the special annual allowance charge is to reduce the tax relief on the excess contribution to 20%. There are some further points to consider in relation to the special annual allowance charge. The charge generally only applies where the individual is a high-income individual for the tax year, that is, where the individual's relevant income is £130,000 or more in 2010-11. However, an individual will also be considered a high-income individual if their income in either of the two preceding tax years was £130,000 or more. Income for this purpose is calculated by taking the total income for the tax year, before any relief for pension contributions paid under a net pay scheme, and deducting any allowable deductions and reliefs, including relief for charitable donations. Total pension contributions eligible for relief up to a maximum of £20,000 are then deducted in order to arrive at relevant income. The special annual allowance is usually £20,000. However, an individual may have a special annual allowance of up to £30,000 if contributions have been made to a money purchase pension scheme infrequently, i.e. not on a monthly or quarterly basis, in any of the tax years 2006-07 to 2008-09. If the average of the infrequent contributions for the 3 years exceeds £20,000, but is less than £30,000, the special annual allowance is equal to the average. If the average contribution exceeds £30,000, the special annual allowance is £30,000. Turning next to the lifetime allowance. A lifetime limit is placed on the total value of pension benefit that an individual can benefit from without triggering a tax charge. This limit is called a lifetime allowance. The lifetime allowance is £1.8 million for 2010-11.
Where the capital value of the pension fund at retirement, or when benefits are taken if sooner, exceeds the lifetime allowance, a tax charge will be levied on the excess. This is called a lifetime allowance charge.
The purpose of the charge is to recover the excess tax reliefs the fund has benefited from, both in respect of relief for initial contributions and the tax-free growth of the fund.
If the excess above the limit is taken as a lump sum, the tax charge is at 55%. If the excess is taken as an annual pension income, the tax charge is at 25%. The annual pension income is thereafter taxed as non-savings income.
By way of illustration, Harvey retires on the 31st of January 2011, age 60. At that point, the capital value of his pension benefits is £2.9 million. This exceeds the lifetime allowance of £1.8 million in 2010-11, so the excess will be charged to tax. We split the pension fund into an authorised fund of £1.8 million and an unauthorised fund of £1.1 million. The authorised fund receives tax privileges, such as a tax-free lump sum. The unauthorised fund is fully taxable. We deal with the authorised fund first. Up to 25%, i.e. £450,000, can be taken as a tax-free lump sum. The remainder of the fund will generate an annual pension income, which will be taxed at the taxpayer's marginal rate when it is paid. The difference between the value of the total pension fund and the authorised part is the unauthorised fund. In this example, this is £1.1 million. The capital excess of £1.1 million will either be taxed at 55% if taken as a lump sum, or taxed initially at 25% if taken as pension income, then thereafter at the taxpayer's marginal rate, as and when the income is actually paid. A lump sum is taxed at a higher rate to take account of the fact that this amount will not suffer any further tax charge, whereas the balance used to pay out pension income will in effect be taxed again when the individual receives the pension income.